I can live up to that introduction. But Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
So how many of you in this room or online have actually had some sort of focus on New Year's resolutions or goal setting for 2021? Well, did you know that you are following in the footsteps of the ancient Babylonians when you do that? That over 4,000 years ago, they started the practice on an annual basis. It was really in March at the beginning of their year versus January, the way we do it. But they were the first ones that are recorded to honor the changing of the new year. And they made resolutions. And their resolutions primarily focused around, believe it or not, paying off their debts and returning any objects they borrowed. And they felt if they did that, then their pagan gods would look kindly on them, and they didn't want to be on the bad side of their gods. So when you're actually going through the process of setting resolutions and setting goals, it started 4,000 years ago. Since we've been doing it for that long, you might think that now we excel at actually achieving those goals. But I've got news for you, we don't. According to a recent study that was done in Scranton University, they found that only 8% of the goals that are set are actually achieved. That's a pretty small percentage. And, you know, everybody says if you write down your goals, then you're more likely to achieve them. And that's true. But you have only a 50% probability of actually doing better than you would have otherwise. You know, and even to this day, the primary goal that people set coming into the new year has to do with money. That's number three on the list of our most likely resolutions coming into the new year. I guess you would probably rightly guess that most of the time it's about our health and about our weight. So we've been doing these things for 4,000 years, and what have we learned? Well, maybe it's that money issues are always at the top of our mind. You know what? 4,000 years ago they were, and today they are. Maybe it's that resolutions and goal setting is really not worth our time. If you look at another statistic, there are 83% of the people in this country don't set any goals, don't have any goals. So maybe that's an observation that would say, well, it's a waste of time. Look how little we achieve when we set goals. Or maybe we should be thinking about something else. Maybe it's the process we use to decide what our resolutions or goals should be that's the problem. A wise old saint was asked what he would tell young quarterbacks on how to succeed in the NFL. And Drew Brees said this, and I'm going to read it. So much of our league is about results, right? We're in a results-driven business. But truly, it is about process. If you focus on the process, the result will take care of itself. Develop your process. Focus on that process. Too many times we get frustrated because the result didn't match up with the process. But if you just focus on the process, eventually you get to the point where good process will consistently equal good result. Well, Drew is right. But no one wants to hear about process. It's boring. It's not magical. It doesn't come with quick results. So in our instant answer culture, we came to a 4,000-year record of futility. Or worse yet, we take an exercise like writing a goal down and attribute causality to it. If we only write it down, it will become so. When that's not really the case. The actual fact is it's the motivation that went behind it that caused the outcome to be. Are we that lazy? Is there any hope? For me, the answer is yes. There are two scriptures in the Bible that tell us what we have to do. The first can be found in Hebrews 12. And it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. In that one sentence, there's three important things it says. Number one, it talks about perseverance. And when it talks about perseverance, you know we're going to face hardship. God didn't hide that from us. The path isn't going to be easy. There's going to be pain. There's going to be sacrifice. So you have to persevere. The second thing that was important that's in that verse is that it's marked out for us. Our path is marked out for us. We don't have to guess. God doesn't hide it. You have to look. You actually have to be on the path. And the only way you can be on your path is in the last several words. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're going in the right direction, and then you'll be able to see the markers that are set out because they're in your line of vision. If you're out in the weeds, you see no markers. So that's one easy way to tell if you're on the right path. The second cause for my encouragement can be found in Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. There's another version of the Bible that says it this way, and it kind of resonates a little bit better with me. Open your works to the Lord, and your intentions will be set in order. From experience, I know this to be true. When I started my first company, Competitive Business Advantage, in 1995, it's a business consulting business. And the purpose I wrote down when I started that business was we help businesses grow and prosper. And I thought it was a great idea. It played to my strengths. And in about that same time, I'd started participating in a Bible study. And one of the people who went there with me turned to me one day and said, why Competitive Business Advantage? That doesn't seem what you really want to do. That doesn't seem consistent with what you're trying to tell people. Competitive with who? Is this a zero-sum game where there are winners and losers? And frankly, I had no good answer. You know, usually I have something on the tip of my tongue, but I just said, I guess I don't know. And I went back home. And I thought about it, I prayed about it, and within 2 weeks, I had changed the name from Competitive Business Advantage to Proven Growth. And Proven Growth, when you listen to the rest of it, help business owners grow and prosper, you know, and I think about what God wants us to do. It's proven presence. He has the answers. He's given us the answers. So that started resonating. Even more importantly, this happened over a longer period of time. The meaning of the words grow and prosper changed in my mind. They were transformed. They were different. And because frankly, when I started up the business, I was merely thinking what probably most people thought when you talk about business. Grow revenues, increase profits. And that's what was in my mind when I was writing those words. But what it evolved to when I had conversations with business owners and employees was we went beyond business. We talked about family. We talked about their issues. We talked about their community. And ultimately, we talked about their faith. And so it's more, everything was more in alignment with what God wanted out of my work. It suddenly became that. And it's nothing that I did, it's everything that he did. So I have lots of faith that things are going to move forward in a good way. So coming back today, I want to share with you four things you need to understand before you can move forward with confidence in 2021. Because that's what we all want to do. 2020, hopefully, is in the rearview mirror. the consequences of 2020 are still very much with us. I mean, we're still wearing masks. I mean, the events of the past few days don't really give us a hope for encouragement in some ways, but we have to move on and we have to move forward. So the first thing you need to do before you set your goals is to assess your resources. I don't mean money. I mean your resources, like those that you would be limited to if you were on that reality TV show, Naked and Afraid. You're stripped down. It's just you. What do you bring to the table? Who are you? What purpose do you serve? You need to think about your innate resources, like the way you think, the way you behave, your strengths, your interests, what motivates you. Leadership Development Company has developed a process called the Personal Metapath, which, as Bobby said, was built on what Chris White had created, I don't know how many years ago. And it's been updated, but it's basically the same concept. Look at yourself. Look at God, how God made you. Look at the way you're wired. And you find that if you do these things, and we use all sorts of psychometric assessments and inventories of your achievements and your values, but if you look at these things and you live your life consistent with how you were made, what the purpose you were made for, then it's a lot more natural. And to illustrate the importance of that point, I've been using these tools for a long, long time. And early on, I had been referred to a financial rep who was turning over employees seemingly every week. And when I look at those kind of problems, I don't just look at the employees that are being turned over in those positions. I look at the person who's the employee. And I sent the assessment to him. He took it. And when I looked at it, I was amazed. This person, I couldn't believe, this person should not be in that business, I was thinking. But I also was wondering, well, is this accurate? Is this assessment accurate? Because, you know, he was in the top 50 producers out of 5,000 in his company. And so he had all that visible success, but he seemingly didn't fit the business. And so when he finally got the test, and I called him, and to this day, anybody who's gone through this process knows that the first thing I'm going to ask you is that, does the report accurately describe you? You think it's an accurate description of you? And when I asked him that, he in fact he said, yes. I can't believe how accurate it is. And so then I said, well, you know, you would have made a great engineer. And he laughed, and he said, Ted, when I was in high school, I thought about being an engineer, but the curriculum scared me. And we have a saying in our family, if nothing else, we can sell insurance. And apparently everybody in his family was in the insurance business, and so he thought genetically, I'm fit for this, and I can do this. And in fact, he did it, but he did it at a price. The turnover was caused really by the fact that he was ill-suited for the job. The job required somebody who was extroverted, who would talk to people all the time. He was an introvert. The job required somebody who was assertive. He was not. The job required somebody who liked working with people. He didn't like it. He was more of a data guy. He would have been a great engineer. But he chose a field that required all those things. So instead of being motivated and thrilled and actually get more energy from doing what you love to do and what you're good at, it drained it. So when he got back to the office from being out all the day with clients and prospects, he had no energy left for his employees. He didn't want to talk to them. He walked by him, locked himself in his office, and issues were unresolved, problems weren't dealt with, and ultimately they either quit or were fired. The saddest part is that he was married twice. He had gotten divorced twice during that period of time because he apparently was doing the same thing. He fell home. And because he had already exhausted the reserves or the energy he had to be an extrovert and to communicate, he didn't communicate with his family. And so it was really an eye-opening thing for me to see early on, is if we don't stay on the path we are meant for, it will cost us. And while God says it's not going to be easy to be on the path that you need to be on, it's not easy to be on the other path either. You may have the outward signs of success, but you won't have success. Number two that's important with setting goals is to have both aspirational long-term goals and achievable short-term goals. You've all heard probably about stretch goals, to set a target above what's the expected result is going to be, that you can actually accomplish, so that you might actually achieve more than you want to achieve or expect to achieve. Well, that's a bad premise, particularly for short-term goals. The reason a short-term goal and a long-term goal is needed, short-term goals need to be achievable because the motivation comes after the doing. It doesn't come before the doing. Once you do something, you have to have discipline to do something hard. The result comes later, the motivation comes later. So if we do something aspirational and beyond our reach that stretches us in the short term, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to quit. We're not going to achieve our goals. So the goals have to be baby steps at the beginning. The long-term goal is what's aspirational and inspirational and motivational. And I would say to everybody in this room and everybody who's listening that the best long-term aspirational goal is to focus on Christ. Because that's where we all want to be. At the end of our journey, I mean, we talk about goals. I have seldom heard, I don't think really I have ever heard anyone say, well, my goal is to be sitting in heaven with Jesus Christ for an eternity. You know, when you're young, your goal is to get into college. When you're in college, your goal is to get a job. And that's a long-term goal. It seems so far away. When you're working, what's the focus? Retirement. Well, all of that is a short period of time when you think about eternity. So if you have the right long-term vision, the right goal, then everything works out and you'll make progress on your short-term goals. And then to do that, you need to align your path. That's step number three. And basically, all that is making a plan. It gets you from where you are today to where you want to be down the road. And every day, you should check your alignment. Am I on the path? Well, you know, most people would just look at the task of the day before and say, well, I did that. When I look at the day ahead, what you need to do is start with your long-term vision. If your long-term vision is an eternity, then start with that and then work your way back. Because then you will ensure you're not off path for your long-term most important objective. The last thing, and I would say this is probably the most important thing, is be accountable. One of the best ways to ensure you stay on your path is to share your purpose, share your values, share your plans with those who want you to succeed and are willing to proactively help you succeed. They could be your spouse, relatives, colleagues, friends, or members of the table that you're sitting at now or virtually going to be sitting at in a few minutes. There are people that want to help you. That person from Bible study was placed there in my life to encourage me, to show me the sign. She was a sign that I could be headed off path, and she brought it back into alignment. So, whoever you choose to share your plans and your values and your intentions and your goals. There needs to be a level of compatibility, there needs to be mutual respect, and you must share values. And that's why it's most natural that LMI exists, because we all share the same core values. And so the men in this room, the men in your group, these men should know who you are. These men should know where you want to go, because they can help you get there. The one last thing about accountability is you want to allow whoever it is that you're going to submit yourself to, you want to allow them to ask you the tough questions, but they need to receive honest answers. Now, too often times when it comes to setting goals, we fool ourselves and we fool other people. And if we really want to get somewhere, then we can't do that. So to move forward in 2021 and to move forward confidently, we need to have a reliable decision-making process that will align our intentions, our words, our actions with God's plan for our lives. So let us pray to our Lord and Jesus Christ. As we look to reset our lives and our sense of community going forward in 2021, we know we need to reset our eyes on you, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, because it's the only way we will see the markers you have placed for us. We ask only for the courage to be honest with ourselves and those you have placed in our lives so that we may push you forward. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.